irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, March 8th. That's 2016, for those of you who are not sure what year this is.
Time travelers.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hey.
This morning, my nose is exceptionally dry, so I can't breathe with the shit. And so we'll try and get through the show somehow.
Oh, no.
Sounding sick, probably, but what can I do?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, right?
I guess, was it the weather change, maybe?
It's just it's the dryness and the wind, you know? The wind is, like, very dry. So then it doesn't matter how much I blow my nose and stuff. It just stays like this.
Ugh.
So I don't know what the hell's going on.
Ugh.
But at any rate, our guest for today, we were supposed to have a studio guest, and he's sick, so he's going to call in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk to him about his film. Yesterday, we had a couple of great guests. We talked about the love debate and relationships and dating and all that stuff. Very enlightening show, right?
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. So they're going to have the love debate, which is a gathering of 100 men, 100 women, singles, and it's going to be the Improv this month, this Thursday at 7:30 at the Improv in Hollywood. So you guys should try and make that. I found someone to go with, a friend.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so it's going to be a little easier when you're with someone there, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because we were talking about that yesterday, and, you know, you sometimes end up standing alone, and it's the worst feeling ever, you know, right?
It's not a good feeling.
It's not.
But, I mean, I guess it does make you, like, slightly more approachable because you don't have, like, this pack around you.
Right. But who's going to approach – what woman's going to approach a guy that's just standing there? It's not going to happen.
Probably not.
Right?
Yeah, probably not. But I don't know.
You never know. I mean, women talk a lot about it, but they don't approach men that much.
Not much, no.
Not much, no. So go figure, you know. But, I mean, I have noticed that women that – some women will give you signs that they're interested, you know, and so that's much easier then. And that's what we were talking about, is that women need to make the environment easier for men to approach them.
Yeah,
right, and
of
things
course.
Like that. So, so go figure. You know,
I mean, you can't have resting bitch face all the time and expect somebody to like walk up to you and be nice and ask you out. So. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of common sense.
Yeah, right.
It's bizarre that you even have to point something like that out.
I know, but I didn't realize that everything
was so complicated. I mean, I've never.
It is complicated. It gets complicated because, you know, and like Brian said, you know, the major problem is communication between the sexes, you know, and we don't understand each other. I don't know that we ever will, but we try to do the best we can to understand each other, but there'll always be the differences, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I mean, the men are the pursuers, and it's never going to change.
I don't think so.
Right. Everybody likes it that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, it's a lot of work, man. And it involves a lot of rejection, too. But I liked what he said. He says, you know, if you get rejected, well, you wouldn't have gotten her anyway if you didn't do anything. So you might
That's
as well
so
try,
true.
Right?
That's so true.
Yeah. And because the downside really is that you're just going to feel bad about yourself and hurt from rejection. But the thing is, can you really afford yourself that luxury of, you know, being hurt like that?
My kind of philosophy is like, who cares? I mean, they're lost. Like,
right,
they weren't
exactly.
into it. It's not a big deal. Move on. There's a million fish in the sea.
Exactly. And it's like auditioning and you don't fit the role, right?
Right, yeah. Right. It happens all the time. And, you know, there is some truth to the whole, it's not you, it's me. I know that's so cliche, and I've told that to many a person.
Right.
Like, you're just telling me that to not make me feel bad. And I'm like, no, really. Like, you know, I'm at a point in my life where it's not the right time, or, you know, I'm wanting something different. I'm right. maybe wanting to move, or, you know, whatever have you.
Right.
There are reasons.
Yeah.
And it's not true. You.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with you, but.
I mean, sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does.
If yeah. you're an ass.
Probably mostly.
Most of the but time. A lot of times it doesn't, especially like a first meeting like that. I mean, right. you know, come on. A lot of times there are other reasons why you get turned away.
That's true. Yeah. So, yeah, yesterday was an exciting day. There were a lot of people here. So, a lot of conversations. It was pretty fun, you know.
It was lots of fun. I love having studio guests like that. I'm bummed ours couldn't come today, but it'll be great to talk to him on the phone.
Yeah, I know. But after the show, there were like three shows getting out and everything, and I just love that. You know, everybody mingles.
Yeah.
We went to lunch and everything.
So good. Nice. That's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, so that's that. I wanted to, okay, I'll talk about it later, but I have some things that that I'm planning on doing. I don't know. I mean, I want to go travel. I want to go somewhere. I need a vacation, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just in the planning stages, or not even there. It's not in the planning stages. It's just in the fantasy stages
right.
at this point, right?
That's my perpetual stage when right. it comes to vacations. I'm like, oh, man, maybe I'll go to Hawaii, or maybe I'll go to, you know, Turks and Caicos. And well,
yeah, you know, now is a good time to travel because nobody else is, you know, so the tickets are cheap.
Oh, I know. Like the summer is the worst.
Yeah.
God, don't go in
yeah,
summer.
Yeah, summer
right?
or the holidays.
The holidays, yeah. Right. Everyone's going somewhere out and about.
Yeah.
And the kids are off, so.
Yeah. And there's very cheap tickets to Europe and everything, like $500, $600
around. You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my God. That is cheap.
I know. So that's pretty cool. So maybe now is the time to go. Plus, it's not as cold anymore, so Europe is a lot nicer.
Oh, I can't stand the cold.
In the spring, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't mind going to Amsterdam again. I just love that place. But
really? I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is, you know.
And every guy who tells me they love it, I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
You just want to, like, smoke pot and hook up with the hookers.
the red light district.
I know. Right? But no, like, I hear there's a lot more to it than that.
There's a lot of culture, too.
I love
that.
Not
to say that you overlook those things, you know, but I mean, that's why a lot of people go there, you know.
Nothing against hookers, like, by the way.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, who cares, right?
Who cares? I don't care.
But yeah, and you have the coffee shops and everything for the pot. But, you know, now you can go anywhere pretty much. You can go to Colorado, you can go anywhere. And besides, it's like legal almost everywhere, at least medically. So
yeah.
So you don't have to go to another country to find it.
You know, I'm getting one of those little itches as well. It used to happen a lot more when I was younger, like, uh-huh. you know, in more college age. I would just get those little itches and wild hairs, you call it, to just yeah. kind of do something crazy. And I would. Like, I would actually act on it. Like,
really?
I would fly to Vegas for the weekend or, you know, fly wherever I want to,
right.
you know. And it's been suppressed recently just because I've been working so much and everything. But I'm starting to get one of those itches again.
It's an itch, right?
Yeah,
I know.
So I'm kind of thinking I want to, like, do something crazy. Or, I don't know. We'll see.
What would be crazy for you? Just up and leaving and going somewhere? Or
yeah.
Is that crazy
I
for
mean,
you?
I mean, I do that a lot. Yeah.
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, nothing, like, illegal crazy or anything. But, you know, just fun crazy.
Right.
I actually kind of want, like, an encore of Mexico.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been there in a good minute.
Uh-huh.
Actually, about 8 years. So.
Time to go to Mexico.
I know. And I love Mexico.
Really?
And you can get, like, one of those, you know, all-inclusive.
All-inclusive stuff
things
in
for
Cabo.
Cheap. Like,
yeah, right?
You know? And so I'm thinking maybe, like, but see, the problem is none of my girlfriends can, like, get off long enough.
Exactly. I know. And that's the problem. It's like, who do you go with?
I know.
Because usually not everybody is ready at the same time.
But my mom, she's retired. So I'll just go
yeah.
with my mom.
There you go.
I'm like,
there you go.
Yeah, that'd be yeah. so fun.
I know. That's fun. So where in Mexico do you like? I mean, have you been to Cancun? Or?
You know, yes. I'm very touristy. My you know, my idea of Mexico is very limited because I haven't gotten to travel everywhere. You know, I haven't even gotten to go to like Cabo. I've been to Cancun and Cozumel, basically.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
On the other side.
Yeah. But I love it. And yeah, I mean, maybe it's like cool. The fun party culture. I don't know. But just like the Señor Frogs and that whole deal. I love it. I think it's really? Just so fun. Oh, yeah.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
It's just very lively and, you know, you just chill by the swim up bars. Oh my gosh. You know, I dated this guy when I first came to LA and now we're like really good friends. Like we're like, we talk all the time, but he had a swim up bar at his pool. And I was like, oh my God.
At his own pool at home.
Yeah. And I was like, oh man, points for you. The right? swim up bar.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. I love going to resorts that have that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. It's like you get away. You don't have to look at the same things every day at your computer and the phone. And
yeah, but it would probably be bad for my career, like being in fitness and entertainment, because and since everything's all inclusive, right. like I'm one of those people. If I go to a buffet, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my money's worth. Like,
right.
You know,
it's eat like everything,
I'm
man.
Paying $20, I'm going to eat $30 worth of stuff. I would be like, eat a lot and the most expensive of the things. So that's kind of how I am when I go to those all-inclusive resorts as well, because I'm like, I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
Got to get
everything is in abundance.
All the tequila I can drink come my way.
And food too, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The food's all over
and the I have one of those like crocodile stomachs.
What's that?
I like never, I mean, I can drink anything, I can eat anything. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm going to knock on wood because I'm sure there are places in the world where I couldn't drink the water.
Right.
Like, I would get sick like most people.
Right.
But Mexico has never posed an issue for me.
Really?
Yes.
So you can drink the water just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you do have a filter in your stomach.
I don't know. It's like, it's bizarre because, you know, even places like there was this one time me and some friends ate and everyone got sick at this one restaurant and I didn't. And so I don't know.
Yeah. I know. We went to a Mexican restaurant last night, and my stomach did not agree with the food.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we went to Casa Vega, which is an expensive place.
Oh, I love Mexican
food. I've heard about it. Yeah, but I ordered a shrimp enchilada,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't good. I didn't like it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's like a $25 entree, and you don't like it. That sucks.
That totally sucks.
Right? But what can you do? You know, sometimes you maybe I just picked the wrong thing to eat. I don't know. You know, because with some things you can't go wrong. You get a taco or a burrito or something.
Right.
You know? But I tried something fancy with shrimp inside an enchilada. I didn't even have the red sauce. So it didn't taste like enchilada. It was just like kind of a whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I haven't missed anything by never having been there. I don't know. I'm not crazy about it.
Well, good so, to but know.
It's
where
a very
is
popular
it?
Restaurant. Never... It's right here, like almost down the street on Ventura Boulevard. Here,
oh, I love Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. But there's a lot better Mexican restaurants around than to have to go to a place where you're not happy. And yeah. I mean, I sat there. I'm like, I almost had a sticker shock there. I'm looking at the prices. I mean, Mexican
sticker
food.
Shock.
Yeah, Mexican food is usually inexpensive. You can get like an entree for $10 or something. You know, when you go to El Torito or one of those.
Right.
And here you go and it's $23 for an enchilada. I mean, come on. So where did they get off charging these prices? Because people are willing to pay it.
Right.
You know? But I don't subscribe to that stuff. You can eat for half as much and enjoy the food just as much.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not like the atmosphere was anything special. You know, so I mean, I'll pay extra for places that are memorable. You know, that it's more than just eating. You feel like the atmosphere, the
like
vibe,
the ambiance
about
yeah.
it, and so that's worth paying more for, but not just a regular restaurant. So, yeah, what do I know?
Yeah. Well, good to know.
Yeah.
Don't get the shrimp enchiladas at Costco.
Yeah, exactly. Don't.
Moral of the story.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to have Super Tuesday number 2.
Oh,
or today, actually. Tonight we'll find out the results. But here's our guest calling.
Oh, yay.
So we're going to be joined by Greg Travis. Greg, are you on the air with us?
Yes. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for calling in, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, Sam. How are you?
Good.
Under the weather.
Yeah. Yes, I know. And we wished to have you here in the studio, but I understand things sometimes don't work out. So thank you for calling in. Keeping the interview and everything.
Yeah.
So, Greg, so you contacted me about your film that's coming out soon. It's called Dark Seduction, and it premieres April 1st.
That's so, right. April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. There you go.
Yeah, it's a detective film noir vampire movie.
Oh, and, my gosh. Why didn't I meet you before this? I play vampires in, like, every movie.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, because I'm so light-skinned, dark hair, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be in Greg's next movie.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we did this one back in the 80s, and it got lost, and a bunch of things happened. It never got finished, but we shot it on film, and I was finally able to get all the elements back and finish it up.
Oh, my gosh,
and
that's
so
exciting.
It has a really unique look to it. You know, it looks like an old 40s vampire movie and a detective film, you know. And so, yeah, it came out really, really cool.
Wow.
And, we're hoping it'll maybe catch on as a midnight movie.
Yeah, you know, maybe be like an art house movie or something like that, you know, a cult movie maybe. So this is amazing. So you shot the original one in 1984. That seems like so long ago, you know?
I know.
Right. How did you recover
like
30 all the
years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was 25 years old, and I was in film school, and I'd made a couple of movies back in Dallas in high school.
Oh, I'm from Texas.
And so I was a filmmaker early on, and then I came out here and started doing comedy. And while I was, you know, working as a stand-up comedian, I got involved with this other guy named Steve, and we, you know, started working on Dark Seduction, and we put it together and put a little money into it and shot it in the summer of 84, and then we went back and shot another part of it in 85, but basically...
Right.
That was when we did it, and...
But I would imagine the actors have changed...
Oh, yeah. Right? It's hard to, I can't even track down the lead vampire girl. I can't even find her.
I've tried every
possible way to find her on online. But anyway, there's about, I would say a dozen that are still around that are going to be there at the premiere and everything. And,
that's so cool.
We'll have a red carpet, and people that come to the thing can take their picture on the red carpet. And we'll have a press there, and... I can actually give you a couple of tickets if you want to promote the premiere a little bit.
Of course, yeah. We'll contact you afterwards, and you can get us taken care of there. But I wanted to ask you, what is the fascination that America has with vampires?
Well, we're sort of a predatory culture, you know. It's we feed off of each other, and I think it's subconscious... metaphor that a lot of people have, and so it's become very popular in the last 5 or 6 years.
It really has, yeah.
With all of the teen vampire movies, and
right,
it takes a new form every once in a while. But my vampires are sort of tough, maybe even lesbian vampires. So
okay,
they're having a relationship. And then one of them gets involved with the detective, and so then that causes all kinds of problems.
Right. Sounds good. Okay, well, a lesbian affair, every man's fantasy. I can't see how this movie is going to fail.
It is a male fantasy, a little bit.
So
there's lots of fight scenes, lots of fantasy scenes, and it's like takes place in Los Angeles in the 40s, but also in the 80s. So there's parts of it that look like the 80s, and then there's parts of it that look like the 40s.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very strange mix. I wanted kind of a netherworld, dreamlike mix of times and looks and all of that, you know.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Now, so, I mean, if you started in 84, obviously you've had a long career in film and stuff. How did you get started?
Well, you know, I started making movies in high school, and I made a film my senior year, and I showed it 3 nights in a row, and I actually made a profit.
Packed
the house 3 nights in a row, and it was a little comedy, you know, called Joe Dynamite, like a little spy comedy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, wow, I can do this, you know. Little did I know that it would, you know, take umpteen millions of dollars to make movies out in Hollywood. You know, I was just doing it on a very small scale there.
Right.
But, you know, I've done 3 features mainly I've had a career as a comedian and an actor. I came out here to be a filmmaker, but then I got sidetracked as a comedian and an actor because you can actually make a living as a comedian and an actor.
Yeah, and that's pretty good.
As a filmmaker, it's tough because, you know, there's just so many films that are made that are lost in the woodwork and, you know, getting into these festivals, sometimes you get in, sometimes you don't, and, you know, to depend on a contest for your business is a very risky proposition.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. It makes a lot of sense. Now, the screening is going to be Friday, April 1st.
Yes, sir.
I see the red carpet is 10:30, and the screening is at midnight.
Oh.
So this is meant to be a midnight movie.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to do the midnight screening just to get it going as a midnight movie.
Yeah.
I think that's where the fun, it's a fun kind of, it's not too serious, and, you know, it's got a creepiness about it, and it's got a lightness about it, and it's a fun little romp, and so I think it's the perfect midnight movie. I can see young college kids getting dressed up like Serena and Vera, the vampires, and the detective Dick Jones, and standing in line to get in, and having a good old time watching the film.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to Greg Travis. The movie is Dark Seduction, and it's a film noir. Takes place in L.A., and a detective who has a one-night stand with a beautiful vampire. Sounds exciting to me. I mean, it's got all the elements, and, you know, the scariness and the eroticism and all that stuff. It sounds pretty fun. Now, so this is a full feature film?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, great.
Full feature. I mean, it's a short feature. It's about 85 minutes. But,
still,
for a midnight movie, I think that's about the right time length. You don't want it to go on too long.
Sure.
Right. And that's a lot of work, huh?
Oh, yeah. This one was particularly a lot of work because every time I tried to finish it, something would go wrong. A company would go out of business that I was working with.
Oh, God.
Something would get lost or something would not work. It was one thing after another. And then the film got lost for like 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. How did you find it?
I know. And so I finally tracked down the negative cutter who had a stroke and disappeared. And his daughter looked for the film in their garage and they couldn't find it anywhere. Mm. And he had the negative cut and the work print. So he had both versions. I didn't have anything.
Oh, no.
And so I called my psychic after they couldn't find it. And I called my psychic, Tana Marie Richards, and I said, is this thing gone? Is it history? I mean, Is it over there anywhere? And she said, yes, it's in the garage in a little cabinet down in the bottom drawer.
God, I need to
and
get
so
a psychic.
So I begged the son-in-law to go over there and look one more time, and that's exactly where it all was.
Wow, wow.
Yeah. And so it was a miracle.
A
I was so glad to get it all back. And I said, well, I really got to finish it now. The film gods have saved me.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Awesome. So the premiere is going to be at the Noir Theater in L.A., whereabouts is that? It's on Santa Monica Boulevard.
The Newhart is, it is 11272 Santa Monica Boulevard.
Right.
It's right next to the 405 freeway.
Oh, okay, so West L.A. there.
Yeah, it's Santa Monica Boulevard. And the 405 freeway.
Oh, okay,
I know
exactly where that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know where that
There's a video store right next to it called Cinephile. It's a famous video store next to the Newhart. The Newhart is where they started the midnight movie. They started Rocky Horror Picture Show and Racerhead. That's where all those midnight movies started, was at the Newhart Theater.
Right. Have you been to any... Have you entered into any film festivals or anything?
I entered it into a couple. I didn't hear anything back, so I'm not quite sure if they understood it. But
we'll keep trying.
Like I say, it's just, you know, festivals are kind of fun and it's an ego trip, but the business is not really doing festivals. The business is putting a film out there in the marketplace and trying to get people to come see it.
Right, getting distribution and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to pretty much learn all this yourself as you went, right?
Yeah. I just did a film called Midlife about a salesman who's having a midlife crisis. And that's also on iTunes. I ended up distributing it through a company called Premier Digital Media. Mm. And they... set it up at all the various VOD outlets and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, it was just a total learning process. Yeah. And so I've got Midlife at iTunes and Indie Rain and Amazon.
Oh, great.
And some of those, yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, my website is GT Films Production, GT Film Production. Productions, I can't even say it. GT Film Productions with an S, yeah,
okay.
.com.
Sounds good. And I'm sure if they Google Dark Seduction and your name, they'll probably find it too.
Yeah. There's also a Facebook page for Dark Seduction as well. Yeah.
Great. Now, can people see a trailer or something of the movie?
Yeah. That's all on the...
The website?
It's all on the Facebook page, and it's also on the... there's a page for Dark Seduction on the web, on the GT Productions, on GT Film Productions site.
Right. Okay, cool. Greg Travis, the movie is Dark Seduction. Now, after this premiere, is this going to be distributed throughout the country, or do people
we'll probably do a VOD and a DVD distribution, and then as well as try to get it set up, you know, at various theaters for a midnight movie showing.
Yeah.
I think that's really where I think the market is for the film. I think it'll be
It's very cool that it's such old footage.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, is that you got to keep your faith in everything and believe that you're going to do it. I mean, look, you've done the hardest part, really, which is creating the product, and now you have it, you know, so it's a question of just finding the audience, because I'm sure
there is one,
yeah. Yeah.
And it is amazing in the film world, certain films, no matter what people think, they do find an audience if they float around there long enough, you know.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah,
they really do.
Yeah, well, very inspiring, Greg. We want to congratulate you on the film. I know it must feel great after all these years to finally have a finished piece, you know. And we wish you much success. Try to get us a couple tickets. We'll try and make it.
That'd be great.
To the midnight screening of Dark Seduction. Everybody go out and check out the film. And after April 1st, it'll be available in other places in the country, so you can check it out as well. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody go to gtfilmproductions.com and you'll find Dark Seduction and more information there in the trailer as well. Greg Travis, thanks again. Feel better.
Thank you.
And we'll always be glad to have you in the studio when you're feeling better.
All right, great. I appreciate it. Thanks,
okay, Greg. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Both of you guys sick, sniffling.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, yeah. What kind of a show is that?
I don't know.
Wow.
Very interesting. That's amazing that he recovered the footage after all those years.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. But personally, I'm not crazy about vampires. I don't see the appeal. But that was the best answer I got so far about why people like vampire movies.
Right?
Know? Yeah. So go figure, you know. But, yeah, you put a vampire, you make her beautiful, you put two of them in a love scene. Yeah, there's going to be people watching.
And I mean, I don't know. I think, too, it just has to do with kind of the surrealism of it and just, like, taking you to a complete alternative reality that you don't get every day, you know.
That's true, yeah.
So I think that appeals to people as well.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, the vampires are usually attractive in movies.
They are,
right? So they can seduce the people, I guess.
Right, so they can eat them or whatever they do. I don't know.
I'm not into it either.
I don't watch vampire shows or movies.
I know, or like zombies and stuff, you know. They're too weird for me, I don't know. But people love this stuff.
Oh, they're so in.
Yeah.
I even started watching Game of Thrones, and it was people are crazy about that show.
I know.
And it was just, I mean, they say give it a couple episodes, so I need to start watching it again. But I just watched the first, you know, 10 minutes or so, and I couldn't get into it.
Really? You didn't think it was that great?
No. I didn't see the fascination.
Yeah, you see, it's got to grab you from the beginning, or, you know, you just don't want to continue with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you still working on Twin Peaks, or did you finish your role in there?
Finished it. It was just a day role.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on that.
Oh, yeah.
Did they tell you when it's going to be released?
They haven't. I don't think it's coming out till like 2017 or something.
Yeah, or
crazy.
Something, right? They'll probably have to put in a few episodes before they release it.
Right. So, you know, it'll probably be a while, but it was such a fun experience. I hope they invite me back because the crew and the cast were just so nice. Which,
really?
Yeah, which, you know, was really, not that I expected them to be dreadful, but, you know, I expected it to be like a little bit more, you know, hustle like, bustle down to business. And it was, but not really. Everybody was really nice and it was kind of casual and it was great.
You see, it has to be like that in this town because the industry is so small, you know. I mean, if you start treating people like shit, everybody will know about it.
That's so true.
So people are nice. They have to be.
Yeah, the industry is very small.
Yeah.
And you learn that because you wouldn't think so, but
I know. I keep running into people in different situations where they know people that I know and vice versa, you know, and you go, wow, you know, how did this happen?
Yeah, Hollywood is small.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is when you have like 300 friends in common with somebody, and I have a lot of those, I mean, how can we possibly know the same 300 people?
I know.
Right?
I know.
But
it's like someone meets someone at an event and they know you, and it's, yeah, it's crazy.
Right. We don't even understand how close we are to each other sometimes. But I think in this day and age, it's less than 6 degrees of separation. I think it's more like 3 or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you go three crazy people and you're going to get to anybody in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. I know. So they're asking if ISIS is going broke. They're saying their resources are shrinking and everything. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen to them? But I'm just afraid they're going to get more desperate as they get pressed against the wall, you know.
Ugh.
So we'll see what happens there. But so we started talking about the Super Tuesday number 2 that's taking place today.
Mm-hmm.
And the elections are going to be at places like Mississippi, Idaho, Hawaii, and Michigan. And I think, is it going to be Florida today? I'm not sure, but Florida is coming soon, and everybody's telling Rubio to get out because he's from Florida, and if he loses, they're saying it's going to cause him a lot of damage, political damage.
Mm, really?
Yeah. So they're saying he shouldn't be running because he has a good chance of losing.
Really?
Yeah. So
well, you know, I was reading this morning that one of the major newspapers in Florida wouldn't endorse a candidate because they didn't feel like anybody's
worth it.
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
Wow.
And a lot of people are echoing that sentiment. You know,
right.
It's crazy.
I know. When it started, I thought, God, great, we have so many to choose from. Surely we're going to have somebody good, right?
Yeah.
So we're left with just the last two dummies.
I know. Yeah. No comment.
But I know. Last night I was on our show, Two Chicks Talking Politics. And,
oh, they're so fun.
Yeah, and we were talking about them and stuff. And it was, we were talking about politics and stuff. And it was a lot of fun, you know. You guys should check it out sometimes on Monday nights at 7. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
It's certainly a hot topic right now.
Yeah, you know, and people figure that politics is fun now, which maybe is a good thing because people go out and vote. Maybe.
Get into it, yeah, are interested.
Yeah.
I mean, people who never seem to show an interest before are kind of getting involved now, so that's a good thing.
I know. That's very funny.
But I don't know. It can be a bad thing, too, if they're completely uninformed. So there's a flip side.
I know. But what can you do?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
I love how the smog gets washed out when it rains here.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sky's
the
nice
best.
And clear. And when it's windy, too, it blows away all the smog.
I know.
Stuff.
I can't believe flying into L.A. I always just see that little blanket.
Right. Even when you come over the hill, right? When
you
come to the valley, you can see the layer.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I know. And especially in the summer when it's hot, you can see the pollution layer just hovering over the valley here. Yeah, I know. And we breathe all that stuff,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, it could have been worse. We could be living in China.
Well, that's true. This isn't even the worst polluted place. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, So I guess it's going to have it in Louisiana too.
Oh,
so that should be interesting.
Yes, it should.
Let's see. A lot of things happened. Did you hear about Kim Kardashian's nude photo?
Oh, big deal.
That she tweeted, right?
Like, everyone has seen her naked. Who cares? The shock is over.
I know. So people are, like, tweeting to her and stuff. Bette Midler's got in a fight with her.
Why?
And Piers Morgan.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Because look what Bette Midler tweeted to her.
She says, I have to hear this.
Kim Kardashian tweeted a nude selfie today. If Kim wants us to see a part of her we've never seen, she's going to have to swallow the camera.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah, I know. And then Piers Morgan says, I know the old man's $50 million in debt, Kim, but this is absurd. Want me to buy you some clothes? Okay, well, that's pretty stupid.
Oh, that's funny because her husband.
Yeah, Kanye.
I wonder if that's true. He's really $50 million in debt.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I know. Spending all that money, you know.
It's terrible.
I mean, he must have made a lot of money.
Yeah, but, you know, you can spend it as fast as you make it when you're stupid.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
You know, somebody needs to have the checkbook that is well versed in you know, conservative living.
Yeah.
Because it can go real fast.
Yeah. No, I know. And I mean, who cares about Kim Kardashian? Why does it have to be a big deal? I mean, she's got her boobs covered and everything, so it's not like it's a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
But she likes to cause this to get all this attention, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, she does. It's fine. I mean, I have no problem with nudity, whatever. You know, we've talked about it before. It's not for me, but,
right. Like,
I don't judge anyone who does. But, yeah, I mean, it just seems a little, overdone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We've already seen it. I mean, if you really want to be, like, a shock jock and, you know, whatever, okay, it's cool if you're, like, I don't know if it's something new, but it's just kind of lame when it's just over and over again.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I know, but people love this stuff.
And you know what? Who are we to judge? Maybe she was really feeling her look that day, and she had, you know, been working out a lot, and was, so hey, like, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, to me, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
At all.
So, I guess the tennis star Maria Sharapova was suspended from tennis because she was found she failed a drug test.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah,
a
performance enhancing drug called meldonium. So, I mean, so do you believe it's like all these stars, they fail the drug tests, you know? They're all like juiced and stuff. So what is it?
I mean, is it a steroid, I assume?
They're saying that it improves performance and everything, you know. Usually it's used to treat patients that have asthenia, whatever it is, an abnormal lack of energy. So I guess this boosts up your energy. So I can see why it would be legal, yeah? But yeah, I mean, in sports, it's just not acceptable, you know.
Oh,
so they banned
gosh.
It not too long ago, actually. And
okay, so it's recently banned?
Yeah, it was banned in 2015. It was banned outright. So, yeah. And the thing is, you have to ask yourself, why are these people doing this? Are they really only winning because they're cheating, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I get that. But and I'm not making excuses for her. I mean, if it's illegal, obviously she shouldn't be, taking it. But it's not like a steroid, is it?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a performance-enhancing drug.
Okay, so same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why they banned it, because they figure it's an unfair advantage, you know, if you take this.
Sure, exactly.
So, yeah, she was... the normal course of treatment is days or weeks. I don't know what kind of treatment they give them, but maybe talk them out of it, you know, of all this stuff.
So what was the ultimate ruling? She's banned for how long?
Oh, that's a good question, you know. I'm not sure. Let's see. Maybe I can look here and see. But No, no. She, they're saying that the player took 500 milligrams on a regular basis for 10 years, and she was unaware that the drug had another name and was banned. Yeah, bullshit. Right. You take a drug like this and you're an athlete and you don't know what it is, right? Yeah, sounds convincing to me.
I mean.
Yeah. But look, I mean, you know, it's like when these people cheat, then you don't have respect for champions anymore. I mean, you know, you had Armstrong. What's his first name? The biker?
Lance?
Lance Armstrong. Thank you. He also was found juicing and stuff.
And so. Wasn't he, like, you know, really outspoken about not... Oh, gosh. Right? Hypocrites. I hate that. That's the worst. Right? That's the worst.
I know. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I had this... I still have this friend, but we were good friends in high school. We're still friends. But, you know, it was so funny because... people, you know, how high school kids gossip. And I would always stand up for her because people would be like, oh, she's such a slut, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, first off, don't hate her because she's pretty. And second off, at least she, like, admits it. She's like, yeah, I'm screwing this guy or whatever. You know, at least she's not a hypocrite like right. a lot of people. Yeah. You know, who cares? Get over it.
That's true. Wow.
Like, I hate hypocrites.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
I know. And many politicians are like that.
They'll
speak
true.
Out against things and they do it, you know.
Yeah. My rule in life is just don't hurt anyone. That's the best rule.
Yeah.
You know, that's, good, that's the best rule to live by.
It really is, you know, and including yourself, you know, you got to love yourself too.
Yeah.
You know, that's important.
That's the hardest part, I think, actually. Right.
I know. And you wonder why, you know, but I think we all get screwed up when we grow up, you know. Somehow, whether it's at home or in school or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, we feel these things where we start doubting our worth.
Yeah. But it's just part of life and it builds character to have to overcome it. So.
That's true. You know, if you overprotect your kids, they would be prepared for this.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's
it happens
true.
In the world all the time.
Yeah.
So the ESPN reporter Erin Andrews, who was recorded in a hotel room nude. Has won $55 million.
I know. I was reading that last night. Remember we were talking? I was like,
right. She sued for $75
million. Somebody should go with me to like a Westin.
Yeah.
And spy on me.
And then you sue
them. And
the
then
Westin.
I'm going to sue them and then we can split it.
Exactly. Okay, sounds good. That's a great plan for a movie, right?
You're a good candidate. Spy on me, and then we'll split it.
Yeah, there you go, you see?
I'm kidding. I shouldn't make light of the situation. I'm
right.
Sure
I mean,
that...
it's going to be all over the internet. Do you really want it?
Well, for $55 million, I really wouldn't care, to be honest.
Yeah, that's
but,
true, right?
You'd
laugh at everybody.
Yeah, ha-ha, you know. Yeah. But I shouldn't make light of it in the sense that I'm sure that it did
Yeah, it caused
really
her
hurt
a
her.
Big trauma,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it did hurt her.
Yeah.
And, you know, in retrospect... Looking back at her career, I'm going to argue that it actually helped her career.
Mm. You're probably right. Huh?
You know, she got on Dancing with the Stars. I got to tell you, I didn't know who she was before the whole
thing.
Yeah,
scandal. Right? I know.
I had no idea. I mean, I'm sure men were aware of her because they watched sports, but I had no idea.
Right.
So I would venture to say that it very much did help her. The karma coming back around working for Erin there.
Yeah.
But... I'm sure it did cause her, like, a ton of emotional distress. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know, to be such a well-respected reporter and then to be violated like that.
Right.
It's
exactly.
just
I
not
mean, that's,
cool.
That's your ultimate privacy when you're alone in the room, you know, you're naked. The last thing you think about is people watching you.
Yeah. So, you know, I joke, ha-ha, but really, it should never have happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean... How did it happen?
Yeah.
Like...
Well, I don't know how the guy made a hole in the wall, but...
Right.
You know,
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that she got some settlement for that. Because hopefully, you know, she's gotten over it and healed from those wounds. Because
right.
that's tough. Oof.
Yeah. I know. So the jury found the fault... Put the 51% fault on Barrett, which is the guy that did this.
Sure.
And the hotel's management And Windsor Capital Group and its owner, West End Hotel Partners, were 49% responsible.
Okay.
But I'm sure the guy that did this doesn't have any money to pay.
Right, right. So it's like...
So they're stuck with the whole thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but he's going to be in jail and he'll pay for it.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, did he... What was his punishment for that? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
This is obviously a civil suit because she got money from it.
Right.
So, but I don't know about the criminal suit, what happened.
Right. Did he even go to jail? I mean, I don't know if he even went to jail.
Yeah, he must have. I don't know. Right?
I mean, it's
illegal.
Well, yeah, it is illegal.
Right.
How illegal? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but
right.
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wasn't sure that she was actually going to win the case, but good for her.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either. But she did.
Yeah. I loved her on Dancing with the Stars. I was like, go Erin.
Really? Was she good?
She was great.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
She was great.
There was a, I
it was
saw
a few
a headline.
Years ago. But.
Oh, okay. I saw a headline that Geraldo Rivera is going to be on there. Do you know who he is? He's like this reporter that has been ridiculed for so many times for looking for all kinds of things, like lost treasures and things like that.
I love it.
Like one time they did like Al Capone's... I don't know, something like they thought they found a safe or
oh my gosh.
Something from there and that they would find great things and they found nothing.
Oh, no.
So,
well, hey, you'll never know if you don't try.
I know, but I can't see him dancing. I mean, he looks funny, but
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would be terrible on that show. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, So even you know, so going back to the elections real quick, I guess they're saying some Rubio advisors even tell him to get out
really?
Before Florida. Wow. Well, not. I guess my choice is not going to be elected this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Who is your choice?
Well, Rubio was my choice. Yeah. Yeah. He was the least offensive to me, but
right. I know. Yeah, I like him too.
But I guess that's not enough in this election, you know.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You need orange hair.
Yeah. And orange skin, right?
And a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you need to know lots of words.
That's true, right?
Oh, it'll be an interesting summer.
I know, it sure will. And finally, I guess this employee of the Brinks, you know, those are the cars that carry the couriers for the banks. They transfer the money, the Brinks truck.
Yeah, sure.
So an employee of the Brinks was caught stealing $196,000 in quarters.
Oh, my gosh.
They're saying it weighs, it's 784,000 quarters. And he replaced them with beads.
Ah!
So which way, you know, so I don't know. But they're saying that that many quarters weigh roughly the same as a pair of Toyota Priuses.
Oh, my God.
Or mid-sized giraffes. That's like, where is he putting all this stuff?
And can you imagine going to the store and being like,
I know, how
can
do you
I have 100,000 beads?
Yeah, then or like, how do you spend it? You know, what do you do? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, this is...
So you turn it into a bank maybe, right?
Right. Well, it's funny. It's an interesting concept for me because I grew up with car wash owners and my parents own car washes, among other things. And so every, you know, you like run quarters all
right,
the time.
Right, then you empty the machine, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that's you funny. Just take them in big bags to the bank.
Yeah, except when you steal them. I don't know how.
I know. When then, you steal them, that could be problematic. Yeah. Problematic accounting issue, but... Interesting. That's people will think of everything.
I'm telling you, anything to make a quick buck.
Yep.
All right. Well, folks, that's it for today. Thank you to Greg Travis for calling in. Check out Dark Seduction. And tomorrow we have cool guests in the studio, Kelsey.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. And there'll be a couple of hosts from the station older than we. But they're very cool people. So,
oh, yay.
Yeah, so we'll see them tomorrow. And thanks, Kelsey. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.